From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Andrea Seabrook. The siege on Mumbai, India, is over. Government commandos killed the last few gunmen who'd been holed up at the Taj Mahal Hotel today. That ended a brutal 2.5 days that started when militants rampaged through the city, grabbing hostages and killing indiscriminately. At least 195 people are dead, hundreds more injured, and the world is in shock. President Bush spoke today in Washington.
The killers who struck this week are brutal and violent, but terror will not have the final word. People of India are resilient. People of India are strong. They have built a vibrant, multi-ethnic democracy that can withstand this trial.
The violence has heightened age-old tensions between India and its neighbor, Pakistan. Charges flew back and forth today. From India, that militants in Pakistan might have been involved. From Pakistan, that troops might be moved to the Indian border. Meanwhile, back in Mumbai, people are just beginning to take stock of what some there are calling India's 9/11. NPR's Philip Reeves has the story.
This is the first time Virinder Bahl's ventured outside his home since the assault on Mumbai began. He's wandering down the street, looking a little dazed. His apartment is right by the Taj Mahal Hotel.
Yeah, I stayed here for 3 days. I could hear the gunshots, everything.
Is this the first time you've come out?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
Bahl spent the last 3 days watching the siege next door on TV, minute by minute. Friends bombarded him with calls, warning him not to go out into his balcony because he might be shot. Today, Bahl's breathing a huge sigh of relief. So is the city of Mumbai.
Silence, silence.
Outside the Taj Mahal, there's a huge throng of cameramen and reporters clamouring for information. Not long ago, there was an intense firefight here. India's so-called Black Cat Commandos were battling with three die-hard gunmen in the hotel's vast maze of corridors and halls. Fires broke out on the ground and first floors. Smoke billowed out over the hotel's onion domes and up into the hazy early morning sky.
Is it finished?
I'm finished. Totally finished.
As firemen douse the flames, a senior policeman confirms the siege is over. The last three gunmen in the hotel are dead. The battle at the Taj Mahal was the final stand of the remnants of a band of militants who arrived Wednesday, some by boat, fanned out and rampaged through India's commercial capital. They indiscriminately mowed down people in their path. The authorities are still counting the dead. The gunmen attacked one of the world's busiest railway stations, one of the city's most popular tourist cafes, two of its five-star hotels, several hospitals, and a Jewish centre. Attention's now switching to exactly who carried out these attacks and how they were able to do so without being detected. The political fallout has started, even though mourning the dead's hardly begun. Indians are accusing elements in Pakistan, an allegation the Pakistanis say is unfair. The attacks also threaten to add strain to the already fragile relations between India's Hindu majority and its 160 million Muslims.
Go to S2, S1, yeah.
That's why Khalid Mahmood's wandering the streets close by the Taj Mahal, carrying his mobile phone. He has some videos on it, which he wants us to see.
Now, this is the lady in the passage now.
Is she alive?
No, she's dead. And her husband was laying inside the living room. Their window, living room window, faced directly to the terrace. And the terrorists turned around and shot these two, husband and wife. They were Muslims who got shot.
That couple was at home when they were shot by gunmen holed up next door at the Jewish centre, the scene of another siege in which six Israelis were killed. At the height of that siege, Mahmood helped get the couple's bodies out. He's a Muslim social worker. India's seen some terrible communal bloodletting after past terrorist attacks, including in Mumbai. Mahmood doesn't think that could happen these days, but he wants to be sure that the carnage in Mumbai doesn't do more damage to communal relations. He shows another video in which he rescues a group of trapped residents from under the militants' guns. He says his family tried to stop him.
They call me 24/7. Where are you? Come home. Come home. My sister calls me from America. Where are you? Oh, I'm right underneath the house. She said, you're lying. I just saw you on TV running across with some lady. You know, my family is dead worried about me, but what I have to worry about is God.
Mamou leans across to a young man who stopped in the street to listen to his story. He touches a beaded bracelet on the man's wrist.
I believe he's a Hindu. He's wearing this. I'm more concerned about saving his life. I don't care about what my wife... I want to make use of my life. I want to represent my religion.
The passerby is indeed a Hindu. His name's Ashutosh Dalal.
Perfectly, what he's saying. Because there are many less number of people like me and him thinking on the same lines. As he said, some people just don't want things to go normal.
I want people in the world to know it is also Muslims dying, number one. Number two, it is Muslims like me also risking our lives to do whatever to save a fellow human being there. I want to be an example for people who put down Islam, saying, no, there is all Muslims are terrorists. No, all Muslims are not terrorists. Terrorism has no religion, no race. They don't care. Their main objective is to put fear in our hearts, scare us. They just want to do that.
The important thing, Mamou says, is not to play into the hands of terrorists by living in fear and erecting barricades. He thinks that was the mistake America made after 9/11, and he says the city of Mumbai won't be repeating it.
Look at it right now, today. It's only been 3 hours that the terrorists are dead and the public has all come out. It's already turned back into normal. Shops are open, taxis are running, buses are running, we are out, I'm here, everybody's here.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Mumbai.